ready.
NBC didn't have to create rape allegations to keep from selling to Bill Cosby. That's like me saying I don't want to sell you my car, but then going around telling people you rob banks.
For real talk.
Hey man, I'm just gonna say it. If you don't think you sexist, ask yourself why you champion LeVar Ball but think Cardi B should go away.
All the time.
Not everybody's gonna like it, but don't ever, ever apologize for trying to be a better person.
Welcome to the Spann Report with your host, Mr. Spann.
Bracelet to your belly ring, from the tat on your back with the angel wings, staring at your mouth waiting to hear anything. Baby, I get so lost in you. When you walk, it looks just like you're floating, cause your vibe to me is mad potent. Like a Hemingway novel, you got me open, hoping that I can get into you.
Going further from your hips to your collarbone, yeah. Lose direction between your love and your skin tone. Coffee, caramel, butter soft, that's you. Amazed at all the ways that God blessed you. In a crowd of a thousand women, it's just you. Can't wait to make one out of us two. Hey, I just wanna melt with you. Baby, can I melt with you? From the moment that I saw you,
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Spann Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Spann. This is episode number 188 of the report. Right now, we're rocking out to some Boys to Men. Can you believe that? Yeah, man. Rock out with your boy, Crush, off the Recipe album. Rock out with me.
I love the way we hug and stuff, the way we laugh afterwards, cause the sex was rough.
Clean up, go downstairs, bust a grub, and back upstairs to make some more love.
Damn.
You're exactly what I needed, boo. I can see how a man would fall in love with you.
Hey,
and that's the way it is with you. That's the way it is with you. From the moment that I saw you, right then I knew that I had a crush on you. Can't wait to get close to you, to touch on you. Girl, I got a crush on you. No one can show you better than me, girl. What's your pleasure?
Yeah, man. We chilling out here on a Sunday evening. Like, I can't even really call it afternoon anymore because it get dark early and shit now, right? So we can't even call it afternoon. It's just like Sunday evening, like 6:50 Sunday evening, right? And I'm chilling out, man. I got some. Hold on, let me turn them off. Yeah, I got some stuff here, man. So like, I want to get it like kind of kicked off a little bit. I want to be a little I want to be buzzed while I do this show, man. I just kind of do, like, right? So I'm sitting here, and I got like three different fucking brews sitting in front of me right now, man. I got like some what my wife would call some boozy Mountain Dew. So this shit is here is not your father's Mountain Ale. The shit tastes like Mountain Dew. It kind of looks like Mountain Dew. It's like in a green bottle and shit. And that's tasty. I fucks with that. They call it some sort of citrus brew. Tastes like Mountain Dew. I fucks with that. Now, I also got some other shit here, man. I got some Best Damn Sweet Tea, right? Now, this got like a 5.5% alcohol per volume. And say it tastes like sweet tea. I haven't had any of these, so I'm going to check this out. Let me see what this tastes like here. Okay, I fucks with that. Okay, so we got the Not Your Father's Mountain Ale and the Best Damn Sweet Tea. And then here, man, like, my father-in-law put me up on these, man. Peronis. I fucks with these. These is like, if I don't get like Stella Artois, some shit like that, I will fuck with a Peroni. Like, these shits go, these go real good. So, yeah, I'm gonna finish this too. All right. So, yeah, by the time, I probably won't be buzzed by the time I finish all three of these during the course of the show. But, yeah, it's an attempt. It is definitely an attempt to keep this party going, man. So, yeah, it is episode 188. And we got the holiday season coming up. And one of the things about the holiday season, bro, like, it's weird, right? Because we're in a very like festive time, right? We're towards the end of the year. You know, you got a lot of companies that are doing their holiday parties or their Christmas parties and whatever else, man. People are trying to like kind of wind down the year, and you kind of get to this feeling that like, because we know winter is coming and it's like the weather in a lot of parts of the country, like the weather is going to really like kind of turn to shit. We're trying to find reasons to get excited, right? So like, you notice over the course of the last few years, man, there has been a blending of like the holidays, man. Like all of a sudden, like Halloween has become like this really big thing. Like not so much like it used to be like they were separate, right? Like the holidays were separate. Like you had the time like Halloween, and then when Halloween left, like you started seeing like the Thanksgiving stuff start coming out. You see cornucopias and turkeys and stuff like the turkey decorations. Excuse me. Start seeing all that kind of stuff going on. And now it's like as soon as Halloween is done and they didn't got rid of the costumes that they didn't sell and they didn't got rid of the candy corn that they didn't sell, when they got rid of all of that shit, it went straight from Halloween and like, boom, we on Christmas time from October 30th to fucking December 25th, right? Like all Christmas all the time. And it's become a part where I just said, fuck it, let's meld this shit all together and call it Hollow Thanksmas. Right? Now, I didn't create this term. Like, I thought I did. I thought I did. And then I seen it was already in fucking Urban Dictionary and shit, and it's been there since like 2012 or something. Like, somebody thought of this, and they were fucking geniuses when they did, because like, it's a melding of all of these damn holidays at the same time, man. We don't even celebrate one holiday at a time anymore. Like, you, and then on top of that, you got so much going on. So you got like Halloween and then Thanksgiving and then Hanukkah and then Christmas and then New Year's. And I think sometimes it's well, not Ramadan. It's another one for the Islam religion. I can't think of the name of it right now, and it's totally slipping my damn mind. But yeah, man, you got all of these different holidays kind of melding into each other, man. And it's like, instead of saying happy holidays, be like happy, like, Hollow Thanksmas or Merry Hollow Thanksmas or, you know, happy holidays, I guess, you know, right? So, yeah, man, we got a lot of this stuff kind of melding together. Now, one of the things that I think is like really kind of fucked up, man, is the fact that because we are in these times, man, like, yo, you got a lot of these companies, a lot of these stores, a lot of these retail outlets who got their workers, man, working on fucking, you know, working on the goddamn holidays, man, my wife included. So I'm a little salty about that. So like, you know, they're not respecting the holidays. They're not respecting Christmas. They're not respecting fucking Thanksgiving. They're not respecting, well, they may respect Christmas, but not necessarily Thanksgiving. Like Thanksgiving is like, yo, we about to kick off these sales, nigga. Like, fuck what you talking about. They going to get out. As soon as you get off the plate, we going to the stove, nigga. We got these Black Friday sales to get up on, right? So yeah, man, it's a melding. It's a melding. And I completely forgot that I'm supposed to, let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spare Reporting Podcast. Let your voice be heard. So yeah, man, we can kick this off, man. Go ahead and hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. Of course, I will play them on the show, respond to you right here. You can also call us live while we're doing this on Crowdcast, right? Subscribe to the show on Crowdcast. Get alerted when we do the show live. You can participate in the chat room. You can call in the show and be a part of this that we got going on here at the Spare Report Podcast, man. Real talk. Also, email me here at feedback@thesparereport.com. That's feedback@thesparereport.com. Leave me those emails and I'll read those here and respond here live here on the show. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and do that. Follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week about everything that's going on here throughout the week. Also, subscribe on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Leave a 5-star review. Those 5-star reviews do help as far as like pushing forward the notion of listening to the Spare Report, right? Let people know that you fuck with us over here at the Spare Report. Leave those 5-star reviews. They really help the show grow, and it's your way of putting down for the show, man. And for all of your Spare Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. You can go there. You can watch the replays of the show later. You can listen to the podcast from your phone right from the website there later. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments. You can donate to the show. All of that stuff is available right there at www.thespanreport.com, man. So go there for your one-stop shop. Everything Spare Report related, man. Real talk. And yeah, man, I kind of got away from from doing that because I got excited to talk about the fact that I'm a little pissed off that my wife has to fucking work on goddamn Thanksgiving, man. And it shouldn't be.
That's not how any of this works.
It shouldn't be how that works, right? So, yeah, man. Now, one thing that I wanted to kind of, like, get off, like, right into, right off top, man. I wanted to kind of talk about video games, right? Because it's the season, man. You know, we're buying video games for our kids. We're buying video games for ourselves. It's the holiday season or whatever else. And one of the things that I really wanted to kind of talk about was the fact that, you know, there are people right now who are acting, you know, like that are actively talking about boycotting the game. Call of Duty, World War II. Now, one of the things about the Call of Duty games, like, I really didn't get into them until, like, Modern Warfare on PlayStation 3. Like, I got into it then. Like, I had, you know, I was really, like, into it. I was really good at the first-person shooter games and shit. I would, like, that was my thing for a good long while, man. I would play Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, or whatever else. Some of the other the versions of the game I haven't really gravitated towards, especially like some of the ones that are like based on the like the historical based on historical periods that, like, you know, like the weapons seem to be really fucking dated, and I didn't like them, right? So I didn't really get into the whole, like, you know, Call of Duty back when they was like talking about World War II and stuff, because they're really going back to their roots with the whole World War II themes and everything else, right? But there was a scene and a more recent Call of Duty game, the World War II game, where you can actually see two men hanging from a tree, right? And I saw people talking about boycotting the game. Like, folks were saying, don't buy this game. We can't allow for the things that happen to black people to be trivialized and to be put into video games and have our suffering laughed at and have our suffering, just like fodder for entertainment and stuff like that. And I think a lot of that kind of comes from like the sense that a lot of people have about, say, for instance, slavery movies, right? Like, a lot of times you have people who are talking about, you know, not another slavery movie. Like, I don't want to see another slavery movie, unless, of course, it's a slave movie where there's a slave revolt. Like, those same people were talking about they wanted to go see The Birth of a Nation because it was about the Nat Turner revolt against slavery and everything else. And you would want to probably see another movie highlighting Denmark Vesey and all those movies where black people were assertive in the fact that, like, yo, we're not going to continue to allow this subjugation to take place without any sort of pushback, right? And so, you know, people have this, I know a lot of black people, we have this, like, there's a sense of shame. I don't want to say people are wrong in having that feeling, but it's a sense of shame. And I think a lot of it is because you don't want to be constantly reminded of the fact that, yeah, our people were at one point subjugated in this country in a very egregious way. Atrocities were afflicted upon our people in very egregious ways. Like, you don't want to have to constantly have that rehashed and over and over and over again, because it reinforces this notion that the only history that we have here in America is we were brought over here on boats to serve other people, right? And people don't, you know, they don't want to have that idea pushed upon them all the time, right? But one of the things about this particular instance of, you know, the Call of Duty World War II depiction is the fact that I'm kind of hearing that the guys who were hanging from the tree weren't even black in the game, right? That they were actually Jewish people that were hung in the game, and that the protagonist of the game, or you, the player, is looking at this as a war crime, right? That these people were hung, they were executed, and it was a war crime executed by the Germans during World War II, right? And so, you know, I'm wondering, you know, whether or not video game developers and those who play video games, like, whether or not we're in a position, I'm wondering whether or not video games are allowed to explore these time periods. I'm wondering whether or not video game developers and players are allowed to have these historical stories being told, or these retellings of, of course, it's like a fictional retelling of this time period, right? It's a created story around this time period, set in this particular time period. And I'm wondering whether or not, because of these sorts of reactions, whether or not people really believe that video game makers aren't allowed to, you know, to explore these time periods and these themes for their games, right? And one thing that I kind of wonder is, do we have these ideas because, well, one, you got the, hold on a second. Babe, is that you?
I'm fine.
Oh, okay. All right, shit, I thought I was in the house by myself. Shit, it was about to be on and cracking up in here. But yeah, so, yeah, so we got the, you know, the idea that people have with, like, you know, with, at least with a movie, you're a passive audience, right? You're not necessarily engaged in the story. You're just kind of watching the story play out. Whereas in a video game, people are actively involved in the story being told, and you know, the they're involved in the progression of the story, and they can actually interact with the game or interact with these characters or interact with these themes in ways that you couldn't while just watching a movie, right? And so one of the things that made me think about, man, was, like, you know, I noticed, like, there's been a few times where I bought games specifically because I had an opportunity to kill some fucking racists, to kill some Nazis, to kill, like, slave owners, to kill, like, you know, anybody who I deem, like, bad for black people. Like, yo, I get to kill them in this video game. One of the first video games that I think of that kind of promotes this idea of getting back, right, the get back of black people towards those who would oppress them was Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry, which initially was an add-on to, I believe it was Assassin's Creed 4, I think. But Freedom Cry was an add-on to that game, and then on the PlayStation 4, they released it as its own standalone game. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to, like, kind of pull up the trailer that they had for Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry here in a second. Let me see if I can pull this up really quick. Because I thought I had it, and I didn't. This happens a lot. Let's see. Okay, the Freedom Cry trailer. That's what we want to watch. So, let's see. I'm going to share the screen here. Pull that up. All right, here we go. Check this out. That's kind of loud.
Yeah, allez-moi, let me so. But I lie.
I was born into slavery, deprived of any right, of any faith.
Young boy being taken from his mother.
I was sold, traded for labor.
Being inspected by a slaver, watching, looking at his teeth and everything.
Like a beast of burden.
Watching other slaves
with
being
no
abused.
Future ahead of me, I forged my own, and I knew blood would be the price.
Finally, having enough and killing his own slaver.
I never looked back.
Running away.
Never wanted to. Never had to. Until now.
Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry, the epic add-on adventure from Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. Available February 18th as a standalone game exclusively for download on PlayStation. Also coming February 25th to PC.
All right. So that was a whole ass commercial. But yeah, you get what I'm saying, right? So they marketed this game as, you know, a game where an ex-slave gets to, you know, exact some revenge on those who would subjugate black people, right? And I bought that game simply because of that, right? When I bought another game, it was another game, Mafia 3. The game Mafia 3 has a character named Lincoln Clay, who's a former Vietnam vet who comes back to a fictional New Orleans. They call it New Bordeaux. Comes back to a fictional New Orleans, and he's he's avenging the killing of his adopted father, who was involved in organized crime. And he takes over the city of New Orleans while doing so. And in that game, man, yo, you there's a lot of white folks calling somebody nigger, because, I mean, think about this. This is the 60s in the South, right? A lot of white people calling somebody nigger. You know, you got the KKK and the Dixie Mafia. They had some, you know, racist redneck gang called the Dixie Mafia in the game. And there's actually a Klan rally, some sort of Klan rally in the game that you can ambush and you can pretty much gun down a lot of Klan members. Now, mind you, I played that part of the game probably 9, 10, 11 times, just gunning everybody down. I got killed every time I did it, but I didn't care. I got to gun down fucking Klan members. And I bought that game simply because, like, it gave me that opportunity. I said, yo, take my fucking money, right? Another game that... that kind of like, I was like, yo, take my money, was this new Wolfenstein 2. Like, Wolfenstein 2, as a matter of fact, let me see if I could pull a trailer up for Wolfenstein 2. Hold on just a second. All right, so in Wolfenstein 2, there's a, you know, there's like this alternate reality where after World War II, the Nazis actually won and they took over the nation. They took over the world. And there's this, there's now a, what would we call it? Like a revolutionary group who's trying to usurp the authority of the Nazis, who are now running America, who let the KKK, you know, run with reckless abandon, who, like, you're basically eliminating Nazis. And a lot of people in the alt-right were protesting the making of this game. A lot of people in the alt-right were protesting the making of Mafia 3. A lot of people in the alt-right probably had really big issues with the fact that what was that? Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry was ever made, right? And you see them on message boards all the time, man, these racist sacks of shit who think that these are you know, this isn't historically accurate. All of a sudden, they give a fuck about historical accuracy. All of a sudden, they don't necessarily identify with the protagonist, because, truth be told, we don't get enough people of color as protagonists in video games. So that's another reason why I buy these games, because, yeah, I want to see myself, or I want to play a black person in a video game. It helps to sell the game for a person like myself, right? But here's another trailer for this is Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. And you'll get a sense of what this game is
Peggy
about also.
18.
My brothers and sisters of the United States of America, tonight, we, the free people of the resistance, ask you to become one of us. Did you forget? They beat us! They murdered us! They executed us! But guess what? They fucked with the wrong country!
Come and fucking get me, you fascist Nazi pigs!
And if tonight we see you on the streets with a knife, or just your clenched fist fighting the powers that be, then you are one of us!
Oh yeah, he just blew a Klan member's head off, stabbing a Nazi. All right. So, yeah, man, like, these games.
Heil Hitler!
Uh-oh.
Heil Hitler!
All right. So, yeah, man, these games, man, they're exploring these themes of racism. They're exploring these themes of xenophobia and these warped senses of nationalism. I'm wondering, man, like, do video game developers, are people really... do they really have a problem with these video game developers actually exploring these themes and allowing the player to interact with these themes and these stories in the ways that they do? And I wonder if people are receiving them differently because they're video games, as opposed to just being a movie where you're just like a passive audience member, where you're just kind of watching what's going on as opposed to actively interacting with what's going on the screen. So, yeah, man. I don't know if I really agree with necessarily the boycott per se because of that particular instance of, you know, the two people hanging. I'm still trying to figure out whether or not they were. My thing is, what's the purpose of that particular scenery in the game? Does it help to move the story along? Or is it just there for like some gratuitous, you know, gorish value, right? So let me know if I'm tripping, you know, because I might not necessarily have the greatest grasp on this. But, you know, as someone who plays video games and someone who enjoys like killing racists and Klan members and Nazis on video games, man. Yeah, I don't necessarily know if I would. I don't know if I would be upset about the visions of hanging people in the game if it's about forwarding the story. You know, I think it really has something to do with forwarding the story. Is it just like a cheap plot device, or is it something that actually helps to, you know, move the story forward in a meaningful way? So yeah, man, that's going on. Video game boycotts, as everybody is getting ready to buy like all these video games that are going to go on sale real soon, right? So, yeah, man, that's going on. But let's go and talk about some real stuff, man. Let's get to what's going on in the news. All right, man. So this is something that I saw earlier in the week that I thought was really kind of ridiculous. But there was a story that came out of Texas, and there's a Texas sheriff who was actively looking for a driver of a white pickup truck because the pickup truck had a sticker on it that said "Fuck Trump and fuck you for voting for Trump," right? And the sheriff in this county actively search this driver out, right? So this story here comes out of BuzzFeed. It says a Texas woman who refused to move a "fuck Trump" decal from her truck after being called out by a sheriff on Facebook has been arrested on a previous outstanding warrant. Karen Fonseca was arrested Thursday afternoon for possessing and using a fake identification, jail records show. Her bail is set at $1,500. A spokesperson for the Fort Bend County Sheriff's Office told BuzzFeed News that it received a tip Wednesday that there was an outstanding felony warrant for the driver. Yeah, of course, there was a tip, right? Fonseca said that she and her husband ordered the giant white sticker that boldly reads "Fuck Trump and fuck you for voting for him" 11 months ago, telling CNN that's our opinion of him. While she was being repeatedly stopped by law enforcement while driving the truck and receiving negative reactions, particularly among older white men, she has refused to move the decal. A lot of females say that they wish I had the balls to do that, she told the network. A day before, the Fort Bend County Sheriff, Troy Nels, ignited a viral heated debate about free speech after he posted a photo of the truck on Facebook stating that he had received numerous calls regarding the offensive display on this truck and wanted to discuss it with the driver. Nels said the local prosecutor would be willing to accept disorderly conduct charges regarding it. Now think about this for a second, right? This dude says he's been getting calls about this truck. People are actively calling the police, not because they are witnessing a robbery, not because they are, they witness like a heinous crime, like someone being shot or assaulted or raped, like nothing serious. Not because they've been attacked by a dog or attacked by anything. People were calling the police because of a decal on a car, a decal. And not only that, this particular sheriff decided that he was going to move this story forward by also consulting with a prosecutor in the area and saying that, yeah, they'll take disorderly conduct charges. They'll accept those charges to move that case forward. And all it was is a decal that said "fuck Trump and fuck you for voting for him," right? So you wonder, like, you know, for all of the talk that a lot of people on the right talk about, as far as it is having like free speech is concerned, like they're all about free speech and everything else. It's only until there's some shit that they don't like, right? So it's all about free speech and, you know, Donald Trump being able to say what he wants and he's saying exactly how he feels and all this other shit. But yeah, if somebody decides that they don't necessarily like Donald Trump, they can't say so on their own vehicle, right? Now imagine, I would wonder whether or not this same officer, this same sheriff, would have the same level of zeal to try to arrest someone in Texas if they decided that they weren't going to have a Confederate flag flying from their truck. And if they if the black constituents in that county had called the police to say, hey, this pickup truck keeps rolling through our neighborhood with guns in the back and harassing us and making sure that we know that he's there, whether or not he would have the same level of zeal to prosecute that as disorderly conduct or disturbing the peace, so to speak, right? So you got that going on. But then let's see. BuzzFeed also writes to say the post swept across social media, garnering more than 10,000 comments from people either chastising the sheriff for infringing upon free speech or the truck driver for such an incendiary message. One writer said, I voted for Trump. Fuck this sheriff. The First Amendment applies to all Americans. I hope the true truck owner sees parts, sues the pants off of this clown. One person wrote, using a badge to intimidate people of different political persuasions is a disgrace to the office he holds, and he should be removed. I've seen this truck, and I would be pleased if the owner of this vehicle was prosecuted for disorderly conduct. My children saw this, and I was infuriated that they were subjected to this offensive display. Now, mind you, your children have probably seen a hell of a lot worse, right? They probably heard a hell of a lot worse. But that doesn't mean that you therefore get to say, well, no, you don't get to say exactly how you feel about the president of the United States on your own vehicle, right? You just don't get to do it. We don't do the same thing when it comes to people with the Confederate flag. We just don't do it. We see flags flying off of these fucking trucks all the time. So it's interesting to see, like, the actual government trying to suppress an opposing point of view of the government's supposed leaders, and two, those being complicit in, like, oh man, here's a tip. This is where she's at. These are some other things that she may have been involved in and everything else. Like, it's just weird to, like, kind of watch these erosions of your civil liberties coming from the very same people who say that they want their country back. Right? They want their country back. So much so that they're willing to give up rights and privileges in order to do so. It's amazing, man. It's amazing. Now, another story that was kind of weird that's also here in the news, man, as of late. We got this other story here, man. This comes out of Alabama, man. Now, Alabama has been in the news a lot lately because of what's going on with that the former Supreme Court judge there who's running for Senate, Roy Moore. And Roy Moore, man, he's out here, like, real talk, like, Roy Moore has became the R. Kelly of the political world, man. Like, Roy Moore has been found out that he had this thing for teenage girls, man. He was actively pursuing teenage girls. He had been banned from a fucking mall. How do you get banned from a mall because of your actions around your interactions with teenage girls at a mall? Like, this dude is running for the state. He's actually running for the United States Senate. And so up to this point, at least 8 women have come forward to say that Roy Moore has had inappropriate, either done something inappropriate towards them, or he was involved in inappropriate relationships with them, right? And so a lot has been made about the fact that, like, especially in this climate, man, where we got, you know, the Harvey Weinstein thing that's in the news, Kevin Spacey, you know, people are bringing back up the whole Bill Clinton shit. You got, you know, Bill Cosby over the last couple years, you know, he was real big in the news with that. And we talked about that a lot here on the show. You know, you got all of these different stories of all of these powerful white, powerful men, period, being assholes, being dicks, and being, you know, just kind of asserting their will on unsuspecting and women unsolicited, right? And so the story here is the fact that Roy Moore continues to get support in Alabama despite all of these charges coming up against him, right? Now, one of the things that these people are against is they think it's all about the timing, right? Like, why is these stories coming out now and everything else? But we're going to read a little bit here from this is from thelatest.com. And the story reads that Alabama Governor Kay Ivey said that she believes the allegations that Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore sexually abused children and preyed on teenage girls, but she will still vote for him because he's because he's a goddamn Republican.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
So let me get this straight. She believes the women. She believes that this dude is a pedophile. She believes that this dude is a sexual deviant. She believes that this dude has actually committed a crime, but off of the sheer fact that he's Republican, she's voting for him. Now, could you imagine, like, listen, I'll say this for Republicans, man. These motherfuckers step in line, right? They step in fucking line. Like, no matter what, like, there's a level of lockstep thinking with Republicans that if it wasn't so fucking like ass backwards, could almost be admirable, right? Because the idea that you would set aside your fucking moral, your moral quandaries, your moral standing, like you would set that aside simply by because of a party affiliation is mind boggling to me. Right. She goes on to say that I believe in the Republican Party, what we stand for. And most important, we need to have a Republican in the United States Senate to vote on things like the Supreme Court justices, other appointments the Senate has to confirm and make major decisions. Ivy said, according to AL.com. So that's what I plan to do. Vote for Republican nominee Roy Moore. Now, I, you know, like, here's the thing. And the reason why I said this would almost be admirable if it wasn't so fucked up is that, like, you kind of wish that, like, you know, people had this kind of thinking when they were thinking about president last year, right? When you think about, you know, when you think about all of the things that were at risk or up for grabs, or, you know, the things that we, the minor gains that we had made that were threatened to be undone by this Trump administration. And make no mistake, that's pretty much what this administration is doing. It's just simply trying to undo the last 8 years that we had and the last 8 years of progress that we had. You can see that, like, say, for instance, something as simple as Donald Trump decided to stop the ban on bringing back trophies from Africa, from, you know, from big game trophies, hunting trophies and whatever else, like with endangered species like the elephants, and bringing back tusk and things like that. Or they go over there and they'll hunt, and you saw pictures of his son, like with an elephant's tail in his hand and a knife in the other. Like, you know, there's a sense of lock, stock and barrel thinking in the Republican Party and conservatives where, like, they just want their agenda pushed. They don't give a damn who the person is pushing it, so long as they get the shit that they want done, right? And, you know, I saw a lot last year when it came to, like, those on the left. There's a lot last year of people, you know, kind of, you know, pussyfooting around. Like, well, you know, Hillary did this, you know, she called us super predators one time, you know, and, well, Bernie Sanders, you know, he isn't a Democrat. Like, I'm guilty of this also. Like, you know, I would talk about Bernie Sanders not being a Democrat, and Bernie Sanders supporters may say, well, Hillary, was very adamant about pushing forward the 94 crime bill. And, you know, you can't necessarily say that Hillary had nothing to do with that passage and everything else, despite the fact that she didn't vote for all of this shit, right? But here we have a Republican nominee for the United States Senate who is eight pending, well, not cases because they're not in the court of law, but eight women coming forward to say that this dude had an inappropriate relationship with me. This dude pursued inappropriate relationships with me as a teenager. Eight women. And this woman says she believes them, but she's still going to vote for him because he's a goddamn Republican. It's amazing to watch these people do this, to, like, to kind of to separate themselves from their own moral standings to get what they want done in government. It's amazing to, like, kind of watch that unfold. It says, certainly I have no reason to disbelieve any of Moore's accusers. She said, the timing is a little curious, but at the same time, I have no reason to disbelieve him. Moore is accused of molesting a 14-year-old girl, sexually assaulting a 16-year-old girl, and making sexual advances towards many other teenage girls. And they have a video. Oh, shit. Let's hear what she got to say. They got a video.
I would cast my ballot on December the 12th, and I do believe that the nominee of the party is the one I'll vote for. I believe in the Republican Party and what we stand for, and most important, we need to have a Republican in the United States Senate to vote on the things like Supreme Court justices, other appointments that the Senate has to confirm and make major decisions. And so that's what I plan to do, is vote for the Republican nominee, Roy Moore.
Tom.
Governor, are you going to be proud of your vote for Roy Moore?
Every Alabamian has a right and duty to vote to determine who their U.S. Senate person is going to be from Alabama. And yes, I'm proud to vote, and I hope every Alabamian will be proud to cast their vote.
And do you believe any of the women that have brought accusations against Roy Moore?
I certainly have no reason to disbelieve any of them. the timing is a little curious, but at the same time, I have no reason to disbelieve them.
Mary?
It's going to be the same question.
Oh, okay. Kim?
Governor, previously you said you needed more facts. What changed?
Well, the information and facts continue to come in, but everybody needs to be sure that they go to vote on December the 12th. And everybody will cast their ballot. Like every Alabamian, I'll cast my ballot.
Did the party make the right decision leaving him as the nominee, you believe?
I believe they did. It's a process that you go through where the people of Alabama choose who's going to represent their party. And it goes through the process, and you wind up with a candidate from the Democratic Party and a candidate from the Republican Party. And we've been through part of that process, and now we are at the time in the process where those two who've been selected by the respective parties are voted on in the general election by the people of Alabama. And that's where we are.
All right. So, yeah, that's there. That's the fact that somebody would say they would be proud to vote for a pedophile. The fact that someone would say they would be proud to vote for someone who is being accused of and who has been accused of committing a crime. It escapes me. Like, it escapes me the level of disconnect that people have with logic and with truth and with understanding and with what's decent and what we would call what's decent in America, right? Or at least what we would think would be decent in America. Like, real talk, like, they have suspended all of that shit. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that, like, yo, Donald Trump was accused of a lot of the same shit, and they still voted for him. Donald Trump was on tape talking about sexually assaulting women, and they still voted for him. They don't give a fuck about women. They don't give a fuck about sexual assault. All they care about is these damn tax cuts and being able to roll back the shit that Barack Obama was able to accomplish over his 8 years as president. That's what this boils down to. That's what this boils down to. So, yeah, man. Alabama, man, Alabama about to put a goddamn pedophile in the goddamn Senate, man. And it's going to be sad as hell to watch that unfold. Like, I know they saying, like, the polls and stuff like that are, like, you know, showing people rejecting Roy Moore. But, like, the more and more you actually, like, listen to people from Alabama talk about Roy Moore, man, like, that dude's going to be the fucking senator of the United States from the state of Alabama, man. And the funny thing is, man, like, interestingly enough, man, like, a lot of the time, like, you hear, like, all these questions about, like, the timing. Like, everybody's talking about the timing of when these women come out and stuff like that, man. People, we heard the same shit. These same fucking accusations leveled at women who accused Bill Cosby of sexual misconduct with them when he was saying he was putting shit in their drinks. And then when he was talking, like, using Quaaludes and stuff like that, the same people, like, it's funny, like, you're going to hear a lot of people who were defending Bill Cosby and saying, well, you know, Quaaludes was the shit back in the day, man. Everybody was using them or whatever else, man. Like, and people who would defend R. Kelly, you know, like, well, R. Kelly, man, these girls, we coming at R. Kelly, man. You know, he a star. You know what I'm saying? They trying to come up off of him. You know what I'm saying? Like, all these people will make these fucking same defenses of Bill Cosby and R. Kelly and then come right back and say, man, these Republicans sound stupid as shit. And they making the exact same fucking arguments that you are with R. Kelly and Bill Cosby. Y'all realize how ridiculous y'all all sound now. See, the thing here, like, you know, like, consistency is really big with me. Right. Like, you got to, like, if you're going to talk about these issues, man, don't pick and choose when it means something and when it doesn't. Don't pick and choose whether or not it's egregious here or it's wrong here and it doesn't mean much over here. Like, and don't do the what about shit either. Right. Every time, like, these stories come up, like, even Republicans now, like, Republicans, because this shit is, like, really revolving around their house. Like, so you see stories like Bill O'Reilly settled sexual harassment suits to the tune of 30 some odd million dollars at Fox News. When you see stories like Roy Moore being accused by 8 different women of sexual harassment, sexual molestation, pursuing relations with them when they were teenage girls. Like, when you see that sort of thing come up, and then they'll try to flip it, right? So now, all of a sudden, Republicans who are in the crosshairs for their sexual misconducts are saying, well, what about Bill Clinton? What about what y'all did with Bill Clinton? In much the same way that, like, a whole bunch of brothers was talking about, well, what about Roman Polanski? What about Stephen Collins from Seventh Heaven? What about Woody Allen? Like, this whataboutism? How about shut the fuck up? How about that? Because it's really taken away from what we're talking about right now. And that's really what you are trying to do. You're trying to derail these conversations. You're trying to derail these examinations of these people and what they're doing and why what they're doing is wrong and should be eradicated and should be dealt with. Instead of trying to do that, you just totally try to derail that entire thing by making it about somebody and something else. So how about you just shut the fuck up if you don't have anything productive to say about that conversation? Right? But it's weird, like, kind of watching this unfold on both sides. Watching brothers defend Bill Cosby and R. Kelly. Watching Republicans defend Roy Moore and Bill O'Reilly and any number of fucking, you know, people who have had sexual misconduct or sexual assault or sexual harassment claims being made against them. Like, there's been a whole lot of it, right? Louis C.K. and Kevin Spacey and Harvey Weinstein and I believe Terry Crews even came out and named someone. I don't even have that in front of me right now, but like, this is a pervasive thing where there's a lot of dudes who feel like, yo, they can impose themselves upon people sexually, even though those people don't want that attention whatsoever from them. And it doesn't have any sort of, it doesn't have a political affiliation. It doesn't have it's not even a racial thing. This shit happens across the board. So yeah, man, that's going on. White people, Republicans right now, are actively considering and being happy about voting for a dude who at least 8 times has been accused of being a pedophile, man. That's fucking amazing, right? So yeah, man, that's what's in the news, man. But it's now time for what in blue blazes, yo?
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Nigga just say blue blazes.
All right, so we got a couple stories, man, in what in blue blazes. So, damn it, where am I? I thought I had this up. Oh, there it is. Jesus Christ. Okay, so y'all know. You know, your man Span went to Tennessee State University. I love my school. It's historically black college. You know, we used to have a really, really, really good football team, right? Like, when I was going to Tennessee State, man, we were like one of the number one or two teams in the country for like Division II or some shit like that. I forget exactly how that shit rolls. But yeah, man, we were really good, right? And we haven't been as good lately. But, you know, like, you know, every now and again, you might catch a really good win. And we stay whooping Jackson State's ass. I'm just saying. But, But there was a story, man, that came out of Tennessee, man. This is actually in Deadspin.com, man. One of our football players was acting a motherfucking ass, yo. So this story here, like I said, comes out of Deadspin.com. It says Tennessee State defensive end Latrell Lee was kicked off of the team and then kicked out of the university altogether after twice punching the Tigers' head strength coach, TJ Greenstone, during Saturday's game. Now, hold the fuck up, man. Like, wait, where's my goddamn. Yeah. Right? It says, according to the Tennessean, Greenstone's job during games is to keep players away from the sideline to avoid getting penalized. There is, as of now, no explanation of what led to Lee swinging on Greenstone. Lee was immediately dismissed from the sidelines by head coach Rod Reed and was no longer enrolled in TSU by Monday morning. In a statement, AD Teresa Phillips said, "We, of course, do not condone any act of violence within our department and are very disturbed by the action of one of our students. We are committed to supporting the coach who was personally affected, and our concern now is with him." Lee, a senior from Dothan, Alabama, majoring in criminal justice, has started 2 games this year. TSU won Saturday's game 23-20 over Southeast Missouri and is 2-4 in the Ohio Valley Conference play. Now, you know, there's this thing, man. Lately, I don't know what it is, man, about the strength and conditioning coaches, man, like getting into it with people, man. Like, those, I would have thought, like, the strength and conditioning dude, like the weightlifting dude, like the dude who trains you on how to be strong and shit, like, that'd be the last motherfucker you really want to step to. Hey, y'all remember when Diddy did that shit to UCLA, they strength and conditioning coach? Like, they say he threw like a dumbbell at the strength and conditioning coach after, like, his son was having some issues with the strength and conditioning coach. Like, what is it about the strength and conditioning coach that people are feeling like they can go try now? Right? Like, I don't get this. Like, I don't understand, like, why is it this dude? that people feel like they can kind of go at now. Another thing too that I thought was real fucking interesting, man. Like, this dude was a senior, man. Like, this guy that attacked the coach was a senior. Like, where is the senior leadership? Like, was he like, you know, well, he only started two games this year, but like, you would wonder, like, after 4 years of being in school and being a part of the program, that you would know that this was something that you could not do. Like, what was going on in this young man's life to where he felt like, yo, I'm gonna swing on the coach today. I'm gonna throw away possibly my football scholarship and possibly a chance to probably advance my career in football some sort of way by swinging on this coach. Whether or not he, you know, just like something, you know, having his emotions in check, so to speak. Like, what's going on there that would keep him from having his emotions in check, to keep him from doing some silly shit like that, man? But yeah, like, I read that shit, like, are you fucking serious? Tennessee State football player swinging on a coach, man. Talking about swinging on motherfuckers, though, another there was another story, man, that I thought was really, really really weird. There's a story coming out of Detroit, man, where like the police is fighting each other. Yo, so hold on, let me see, because I thought that, let's see, it might be someplace on, I had this pulled up and now I don't see it, so let me see if I can pull this up here. Where is it? Nope, it's not here either. Okay, how about this tag? I'll be goddamn, I don't see it. So, okay, here's the story, right? The Detroit police were fighting each other, y'all. Detroit police had a drug sting going on, and, like, apparently there wasn't any communications between the departments, and there was a fight going on in the middle of the neighborhood as the drug sting was going on. So I'm going to try to see if I can pull up this story on YouTube, because I'm pretty sure somebody has it. Yep, before I can even finish the goddamn sentence, YouTube finish it for me. Yeah, let's see if we can listen to this new, wait, no, that's not a reputable, nope, I'm not doing this, nope. Let's see if we can get it from the news.
Stunning raid, cop versus cop.
Now Detroit Police Internal Affairs are investigating a huge and dangerous mistake.
Yeah, cops staged a drug raid only to discover they were about to bust their own undercover officers posing as dealers.
It happened last night on Andover Street near 7 Mile and John R. on the city's east side.
7 investigator Jim Kirchner on the scene of this at the bruising clash with a look at how this happened, Jim.
This is 7 Mile at Andover Street, Andover running to the north. It was 8 o'clock last night that this raid went down. The two sets of officers clashing. This could have been deadly. It should have never happened. But both kinds of police work, the undercover and the raid, needed to fight the crime here.
Very busy, 24/7.
He does not want us to show you his face or use his name. He's lived here on Andover for 10 years. You'll see here more blight than life. And what you don't see on the surface, the underworld of street drugs and street walkers.
I mean, it's crazy.
Take a look at past Detroit police raids. Officers in full tactical gear, racing up with high-powered assault rifles, with officers as backup. Sources confirmed to the 7 investigators as many as 24 officers were involved last night as the 11th Precinct staged the raid, not knowing 12th Precinct officers were their target at this house, posing as drug dealers. Sources say very volatile. Somebody could have gotten shot.
Yeah, shot, killed. I mean, there's a lot of murders around here.
Only 7 Action News cameras are rolling as Detroit Police Internal Affairs canvass Andover, taking pictures in the daylight, and they keep their distance from this watchdog, still protecting the drug house. Sources say the undercover cops who were here last night are working what is called a push-off, where they can make arrests and seize vehicles that can generate revenue.
For real. Right. That's wild, baby.
Sources also say there's a good system in place for communication so that you don't end up with Keystone cops. That's part of the internal investigation that will include interviews with all of the officers involved, as well as command staff.
They dropped the ball. Seriously. Yeah, they dropped the ball.
My sources say this got heated, even emotional. There was pushing, shoving, some bruising involved. One source says he's been on the job more than 20 years and nothing like this has happened, even with all the raids that go on all the time in the city of Detroit. And there's one interesting caveat. One of the suspects taken down, who was an officer, was held at gunpoint. The officer holding him down then realized they went to the police academy together.
Yeah, damn.
On Detroit's East Side, Jim Kurtzner, 7 Action News.
Wow, all right. Thank you so much, Jim. We do.
All right. So, yeah, man, you got the police fighting each other, not communicating well with each other, man. Now, interestingly enough, Brent, like, they were talking about this being a revenue generation for the city of Detroit, right? Like, they would go and they would basically try to seize vehicles from people who would maybe buy drugs from this drug house and whatever else. But, yeah, you never really hear about this shit kind of happening. Like, I've never heard of the police, like, running up on the police. And, like, you know, when was the last time? Maybe, what was that? You ever seen a movie, was it In Too Deep? Maybe In Too Deep might have been a, or better yet, like, not even In Too Deep. Brooklyn's Finest. You see this shit in the movies, man. You don't see this shit in real life where the police are, like, fighting each other in front of everybody. Like, yo, man, that just doesn't happen. Just didn't happen. But yeah, that that happened. Another thing, man, that kind of happened that was a little silly, man. So somebody, Navy pilot, had a joke, feeling real festive, probably had a little bit of he might have had some Nacho Father's Mountain Ale, right? He might have had some of this. But yeah, he was up in the sky over Washington, D.C., and decided that he was going to skywrite or sky draw a dick in the air. So, yeah.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
So, yeah, man. let me read this story. This comes out of thehill.com. It says, U.S. Navy officials have been issued a statement acknowledging that one of its aircraft was used in the drawing of male genitalia in the sky over Washington State County. That's not Washington, D.C. I'm sorry, Washington State County. Officials at the Naval Air Station, Webley Island in Northwest Washington, told KREM 2 that one of the aircraft was used in the skywriting. The Navy holds its air crew to the highest standards, and we find this absolutely unacceptable, of zero training value, and we are holding the crew accountable, the official said in a statement. Federal Aviation FAA officials told KREM that unless the skywriting posed a risk to people's safety, they could do nothing about it, adding FAA cannot police morality. So I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often, man. Like, the one thing I really was wondering about this whole thing is, like, how do you practice that, right? Like, like skywriting and shit. Like, where do you turn, like, how do you know when to turn, like, the smoke shit on and off when you're doing your skywrite? Like, if there are any pilots who listen to the Spare Report podcast, man, let me know. How do you know when to do some shit like that? Like, how do you know, like, you know what, today I'm gonna go ahead and, like, it'd be legal for me to go ahead and skywrite a dick in the air or something? Like, let me know, because that's kind of funny. Now, another thing that I thought was kind of funny, man, and this is something that I've been hearing as of late, and it might not be as big a thing as people are like saying it is, but apparently I'm hearing this on the streets, man, on these internet streets, that people are flexing so hard for the gram that they are actually renting private jets for 2 hours just so they can pose and take pictures in the jets for Instagram. Yeah, man. So let's see. Why the hell do you have Wendy Williams on this story? She wasn't on there. Okay, so here we go. As a matter of fact, am I still sharing my screen? I am not. Okay, so it says here that we all know our favorite celebs like Kim Kardashian are always jetting around in private planes.
Hey, crew, okay. Apologizes for black model's hairstyle.
I'm gonna need, hold on. Where the hell is this video? Where is it?
How messy should a messy bun be? One model's hairstyle sparked a debate on social media regarding.
See, I'm gonna need black websites to stop doing this shit. Like, TV1 does this shit too, man. Like, I don't need y'all to auto start y'all fucking videos for me, man. Like, if I want to watch the video, I will push play on the fucking video. I don't need you to autoplay your videos, man. We don't need you to do that. It's annoying. It's almost as bad as pop-ups. Like, real talk, it's almost as bad as pop-ups. Now, the story says we all know our favorite celebs like Kim Kardashian are always jetting around in private planes. But what about when you see someone you know for a fact isn't making Kim K money pop up on your Instagram feed with similar pics? How, Sway? According to the Telegraph, regular folk are casually renting private planes for the low price of $244 for 2 hours. Yep, you read that right. Just $244 or 11,000 rubles, this Moscow-based photography company, Private Jet Studios, is allowing their customers to stunt for the gram in their lavish jets. You can set up a personal photo shoot on these private planes, but that's about it. Ready for the catch? Takeoff is not in your future because the plane remains on the ground the entire time. Still, that's a whole lot better than actually renting a private jet, which, according to Pentastar Aviation, cost about $3,090 for the same amount of time, and you get some dope shots. The fakeness of it all doesn't stop here either. For an extra fee, you can book a professional photographer with Hollywood-style bright lights to really make your pics pop, or even a videographer. The photos and videos can be taken inside and outside the plane, posing with luxury products such as expensive glasses of champagne and fine wines. Yes, they have props too. Sounds like it's all about faking it until you make it. Now, mind you, I'm not of the business of telling people what to do with their money, right? Like, pocket watching is something that I am not an endorser of. I do not endorse, like, I don't have any skin in that game. But, yeah, like, faking it till you make it, yeah, you could do that. You know, Freaky Zeke, King Ezekiel of Walking Dead was telling Carol he was faking it till he made it, until he got broke by that, you know, that fucking, like, nerdy looking dude last week. But yeah, like, you can fake it till you make it. But then I also came up in a time where, you know, MC Bree was telling us ain't no future in your frontin', right? So, you know, it's sort of conflicting, man. Like, I don't think I would do anything like this, but I'm pretty sure if this was available, like, worldwide, or better yet, in more places, I'm sure it would be done by more people, man. People flex for the gram all the time. People flex for social media all the time. People project what they want to be seen as, right? Even if they aren't there yet, they want to project that and maybe speak it into existence. It may happen for them. Who knows? Who knows? I just know I wouldn't do it. But I thought that was funny, man. Like, I thought that, like, that's a bit extreme to spend that kind of money just to take a few pictures on a jet that ain't yours and you're not going nowhere. Like, I thought that was a bit extreme. But hey, man, who am I to tell people what to do with their money? That's not what I am. That's not what I do. And so I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to kind of laugh at y'all while y'all do it, right? So, yeah. So, yeah, man. Yeah, it is almost time for us to kind of get out of here. But before we do, man, we do have something we haven't did in a long time. We got our ass hat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And our ass hat of the week this week is someone who is very familiar with this particular part of the show. Someone who is an ass hat of the week nominee, Hall of Famer, right? Or Hall of Shamer, if you will. And we are going to talk about Tommy Lauren. All right. So Tommy Lauren is the ass hat of the week this week here at the Spam Report podcast, partially because of her commentary on the whole sexual allegations coming out about multiple people in Hollywood, multiple people in politics. Right. And so the reason why I decided to put Tommy Lauren in here is because Tommy Lauren tends to step on her own message. Even with, like, there is a point in this particular clip that I'm going to play for you guys where Tommy Lauren, you would hear it and you were like, damn, that makes sense. And then she goes completely off of the fucking rails. So let me see if I can pull this up. I had it up. Let's see. Where is it? Okay, here we go. So this is one of Tommy Lauren's latest final thoughts. And she does this now, not for The Blaze, but for Fox News. She has been...
It's time for final thoughts. And I think I speak for most Americans.
And I, you know what? I stand corrected, black websites. These white motherfuckers do this shit too. My apologies. My motherfucking apologies. They do this shit too. I didn't want that shit to start just then. But let me, I want to share this with you. I want you guys to watch this while I'm watching this. So let me pull up the share screen really quick so we can do this together. All right. There we go. And look at that screen. Okay.
When I say, isn't it sad we can't focus on immigration, healthcare, and tax reform because instead we have to devote all of our attention to dudes who can't keep their hands to themselves? Honestly, it seems like everyone is either a rapist or an accuser these days. Whether you're a candidate, a sitting representative, a Hollywood producer, or the former president, here's some advice. Don't touch people who don't want to be touched. It's really that simple.
Hey, she forgot to, and she forgot to mention the current dude who's occupying the White House right now. Notice that?
I think I speak for the women around the world when I say, keep it in your pants. If you're old enough to be my dad, chances are high I don't want you to touch me. Yeah, the truth hurts, and apparently these dudes need to get a freaking clue. Most women don't care how rich or powerful or influential you are. We don't want to be touched, period. Not in a bar, in a car, in a plane, in an office. We don't want to be touched.
It almost sounds like Tommy Lauren has got it, right? It almost sounds like, yo, maybe there's hope for this woman. Maybe there's hope that she could actually make sense and it'd be coherent and it there's no contradictory to it. Like, maybe there's hope. Maybe.
But handsy dudes aren't the only problem. We've seen examples of some women who cry rape for a number of reasons. Think Tawana Brawley, Duke LaCrosse, or the UVA cases.
All right, so we've talked about this, right? I know I've talked about this on the show a few times, man. We talk about the idea or like the way in which people want to minimize the rape allegations that are being made. And when people do come forward, we kind of, what ends up happening is when there are, they'll promote the idea of the fake rape allegation. And they'll hold that up as the reason why most women aren't believed when they do come forward with a rape allegation or with a sexual misconduct allegation or sexual harassment. They will talk about these fake allegations and they will blow these up and they will uphold these as this is the reason why we don't believe these. When the statistics are showing that most of the people who come forward and say that they've been raped overwhelmingly are telling the truth. And the idea that women are coming forward to say that they were raped because it was going to give them some sort of notoriety or they're going to get famous or they're going to get rich if they say these things, like, no one really wants that kind of fame. No one wants that kind of infamy, because that's really what it comes with, infamy. Like, to be called to only be known for the person who is associated with, say, for instance, a Bill Cosby or like Monica Lewinsky. Like, people talk about Monica Lewinsky and, like, you know, they talk about her and all they talk about is the fact that, yo, ain't that the woman who sucked President Clinton's dick? Right? Like, it's like she nasty. Like, she kept that dress. Like, people talk about her in that way. They don't talk about her glowingly. Like, man, y'all see the come up that Monica Lewinsky had? Like, man, Monica Lewinsky out here writing, man. She out here doing a thing. Like, nobody talks about Monica Lewinsky in those terms. Nobody talks about any of the women who've come forward. Like, Anita Hill was relegated to being a teacher. Like, we never saw her in public eye really again after she accused Clarence Thomas of sexual harassment and bringing sexual harassment to the forefront and making it a thing where everybody was kind of aware of what this thing was and putting a name to it. Like, Anita Hill suffered because of that. She didn't become famous, or she became infamous. People only think about her in that instance. It's the only time we think about these women. Is their connection to these dudes and what these dudes purportedly did or reportedly did to them. So this idea that these fake rape allegations are something that we should like kind of hold up more than the actual rape allegations that are overwhelmingly true is fucking disingenuous. And I, you know, like I said, you would hope that someone like Tommy Lauren as a woman would kind of think about that. But then again, like I said, we thought that there might have been hope, and she dashed that really quickly. But let's continue.
Women who falsely cry rape and assault hurt actual rape and assault victims. Get it? Listen, I hope future generations of women will be strong and empowered enough to call out predators immediately and not wait 20 years to say something. If there's a
Okay, we've seen that before. We saw that with Bill Cosby. We saw that with Bill Clinton. We see that now with Harvey Weinstein. We see it now with Roy Moore. This idea that these women need to come forward right now and tell us the story. Like, that we need to know right now. Not even taking into consideration the ways in which people are reacting to these women right now. Right? Is the reason why they don't come forward in the beginning. Because they know that most people aren't going to believe them. When you think about people who are in power, when you think about people who have influence, these people can then say, like, yeah, nobody's going to fucking believe you because of who I am. And because of who I am, I don't have to do this to you. I just want to do this to you. And if you decide to come forward, I'm going to make your life a living hell. I'm going to make sure that everybody thinks that you are a fucking liar. I'm going to discredit you and your life. These are the reasons why women don't come forward. And so for this woman to then get on television and speak to an audience who also by and large, doesn't agree with a woman having a right to choose, doesn't agree with a woman having any agency over her body, doesn't agree with a woman being able to choose and, or better yet, make the same amount of money that a man makes and doing the same work. Like, this is the same audiences that she's peddling to. So, yeah, you would think she gets it, but she doesn't. This is the same woman who cried out that she was being treated unfairly because she said a woman should have the right to choose whether or not she has an abortion or not. And, you know, she felt like she was being marginalized as a woman, right? She's only concerned about women's rights as it pertains to her. Not all women, but just as it pertains to her. My man Rod says that a lot about, who's that, Megyn Kelly, right? That she's a feminist as it pertains to her. But when it comes to, like, women in general, she doesn't really give a fuck. Same thing here with Tommy Lauren. But we'll continue.
Silver lining in all this, maybe it's a lesson to young girls. Speak up, speak out, and stand your ground. The truth will set you free. But there are two sides to every story. I know how it feels to be a woman, but I can't imagine what it's like to be a male in 2017 either.
Well, I'll tell you, as a male who lives in the year 2017, like, I have absolutely no problems whatsoever not assaulting a woman, not trying to put a woman in a compromising position, not trying to make a woman feel as if she owes me sex just for me being or doing something for her, right? Not feeling entitled to a woman's body simply because I did something. Like, as a man in 2017, I can say that I feel like that. And I know a few brothers. I know quite a few brothers who feel quite a few men who feel this way, that we don't necessarily that we don't have an entitlement over a woman's body, that we don't want to put women in these sorts of positions. And we will fight to keep them from having to deal with that kind of shit. You know, even in the face of having your own homeboys tell you, like, yo, man, you only doing this for pussy. And you're like, yo, that's really not why I'm doing it. It's probably because, like, it's kind of like the right thing to do, though, bro. Right? So you don't have to feel sorry to be for men in 2017. The fact that this woman got her ass on television and is trying to put this as if I couldn't imagine what it's like being a man in 2017 in these circumstances, like, as if it is fuck. Like, here's the thing. This is how patriarchy kind of fucks with dudes too, right? Because people treat men as if men don't have fucking control over themselves. This is how it hurts you too, right? Like, you don't have no fucking control over your motherfucking faculties, man. Like, you have no control over your dick whatsoever. Your dick leads you wherever the fuck it wants to, and you have no control over it. You cannot stop touching women. You cannot stop gawking at women. You cannot stop, like, feeling entitled to a woman's body because you did something for her and she now owes you. This is how patriarchy fucks with you too, right? It's funny, man. It's funny. And then I also remember, I've said this before, I'll say this again, sometimes the reasons why a lot of brothers and a lot of dudes can have really fucked up ideas on what it is to be a man and, like, how we are socialized and being men and what manhood means. Sometimes these messages come from the women in our lives, right? Like men don't necessarily have a monopoly on misogyny. We don't. Sometimes a woman can be just as misogynistic towards other women as men are towards women. The same way, like, a black person can be just as racist towards other black people as white people are towards black people. We see that all the time. Clarence Thomas is an example of that. Sheriff David Clark is an example of that. Stacey Dash is an example of that. You know, you see all these instances of people who you would think would be more sympathetic to the plight of someone who looks and has to deal with some of the same issues. Like, they don't have that connection. They just don't. And sometimes racism and patriarchy and all these things can permeate through different people and it manifests itself in different ways. So, yeah, man.
Has the world gone mad? Are family values completely gone? And you can't blame this mess on rap music or millennials either. These alleged assaulters aren't from my generation. Still, kids are becoming more and more sexualized in pop culture, and it's appalling. Parents, where are you? Where has the American family gone? I've got to believe that's the only way to right this ship. And let me end with this, with all these rape.
Hold on. So the American family, here's the contradiction. Here's another contradiction. She's talking about how all of these people all of these dudes are not from this generation. They're not from the millennials. They're not from the people who grew up listening to rap music. They're from an older generation. And then she harkens back to this idea that we need to go back to the American family. The American family, this is what is going to correct this. These same dudes that she says needs to be brought in line and brought in check came from those very same thoughts, those very same ideals. The idea of the American family. These dudes came from those same sorts of circumstances. These dudes came from those same sort of living conditions that she's talking about we need to go back to. Make up your mind, youngin'. Make up your fucking mind.
Lurking around, I still believe the best form of female empowerment isn't a pink hat, but one in the chamber. Those are my final thoughts. From L.A., God bless, and take care.
And then she wraps it up talking about, yeah, just get a gun. I mean, come on, man. So, yeah. Yeah, Tommy Lauren doesn't make a lot of sense. And this is probably easy for me to put her in ass hat of the week. But yeah, man, you know, it's Thanksgiving. I'm going for easy right now because, you know, it's like I said, it's Thanksgiving coming up, man. Happy Hollow Thanksmas, right? So yeah, that's going on, man. Tommy Lauren is the ass hat of the week here this week on the Spam Report.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ. All right, our champ of the week this week here at the Spam Report Podcast, man, is retail workers, man. I know I alluded to this a little bit earlier in the show. We're talking about how, you know, retail workers have to, you know, the shit that they're going to have to deal with this week, this weekend, with the holidays, especially like the holiday shopping season really kicking off with Black Friday, really is kicking off on fucking Thanksgiving. But I really want to like kind of give a shout out to the retail workers who are going to have to deal with some trifling, some miserable, some insufferable motherfuckers this week. Like real talk, from the management who decided that they're going to open a fucking store on Thanksgiving to work, to the people who decide like, yo, I'm going to just say fuck my family and go try to catch this TV real quick. Like, yeah, man, like. The retail workers who have to deal with the madness that is Black Friday, that is the holiday shopping season, man. Hats off to y'all, man. Real talk. Like, I hate, like, I really do. Like, I have a disdain for, like, people who have to work in not only just retail, but the service industry. I have a disdain for the fact that we have an economy that is dependent on people working on those days and not being able to spend that time with their family, with their friends, and enjoying those holidays in much the same way that, you know, that everybody else is going to be able to. Now, I get it that everybody doesn't necessarily, celebrate these holidays the same way, but if they want to work, then let them work. But for those who don't want to be at work on those holidays, man, I just kind of feel like that should be the thing, man. Like, I remember when I used to work for an airline, man, and missing my entire family on Christmas because people decided they wanted to fly into Chicago on fucking Christmas. Like, that shit pissed me the hell off. I missed my entire family Christmas Eve or Christmas night because I was at work loading bags onto a fucking airplane. So yeah, man, like I yeah, it's a sore spot for your man Spam, man. My wife has to work and I'm a little salty about that shit as well. We can't enjoy the holidays in ways in which we would like to as a family because of the fucking job, man. So yeah, those people, including my wife, are champs of the week this week here at the Spam Report. But additionally, I want to give a shout out and I want to raise up and I want to elevate those of us who eat motherfucking potato salad on Thanksgiving. Now, let me tell y'all. I have no qualms whatsoever with potato salad on Thanksgiving. I also have no qualms with motherfucking people who decide that they're going to eat spaghetti as a side dish. Because you know what? I eat spaghetti as a side dish and like a fish fry. Nigga, give me some catfish and some spaghetti and I'm good, right? But apparently there's people, and I think my wife just booed. So I hold on. Babe, you don't like potato salad on Thanksgiving?
Not ever.
Oh, well, you just don't like potato salad. See, I just you learn some shit every day, right? So potato salad on Thanksgiving is as fucking welcome for me as dressing is on Thanksgiving. Now, mind you, this is the thing. I am of the mindset that I like what I like when I like it. And I'm going to eat what I like to eat when I want to, right? I am not under these arbitrary rules as to when somebody can eat food and when they can't. Like, I remember one time, man, when I was young, like, I was still living at my grandma's house, and I was eating a bowl of Captain Crunch, the peanut butter Captain Crunch, because the peanut butter Captain Crunch is the shit. It is the best, right? So I'm eating the peanut butter Captain Crunch. It's 9 o'clock in the evening. I just came home from work at that goddamn airport, mind you, and I'm eating the Captain Crunch, and my grandma comes out of her bedroom, and she sees me in the back, back breakfast room eating the Captain Crunch. And she's like, baby, you know, it's 9 o'clock. You eating cereal? That's breakfast food. And I'm wondering to myself, like, granny, like, why do we tie ourselves down to a time to eat a certain kind of food? Like, if I wanted like some grits and some sausage and eggs at that particular point in time, I should be able to eat that. And you know what? There are places where I could do that. Like, shout out to the Waffle House. Me and my boy Cliff used to go to the Waffle House all the time when we was in college, right? Like, that was kind of what we did. Like, you ate the breakfast food all the time. Right. So why do we then have to say, well, the potato salad is relegated to motherfucking summertime? Like, who does that? Like, I could eat like it would be different if you like, you know what, we're going to cook these chitlins in the summertime, though, because the chitlins already smell really fucking bad in the cold months. I couldn't imagine somebody like cleaning some chitlins in the motherfucking sink during like an 80 degree August day. Like, that's just not something to do. But yeah, man. If you eat potato salad on Thanksgiving, you are a champ of the week here at the Spare Report. And I salute you. And I would like some potato salad myself. But, you know, that might not happen. Because Mrs. Span doesn't like potato salad, apparently, and I didn't know. So, yeah, man, I'm getting out of here, man. I appreciate y'all fucking with your boy tonight. But before I get out of here, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spare Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play them on the show. Respond right here. You can also email me at feedback@thespareport.com. That's feedback@thespareport.com. Leave those emails. And, of course, I'll respond to those here live on the show as well. Follow your boy on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. Chop it up with your boy throughout the week. iTunes and on Stitcher Radio, man. Leave those 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. They help the show grow, man. Let everybody know why you fucking with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast. It's very much appreciated for those of you who take the time out to go and do that. And for all of your Spare Report needs, go to www.thespareport.com. Everything's available there. You can watch the show. You can leave comments. You can vote in the polls. You can donate to the show. And as much as you like, as often as you like, and it's always appreciated here at the Spare Report. But yeah, man, I got to go. I will talk to you guys sometime later. But until next time, fam, peace.